Hello and welcome to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today's November 17th, 2019, and if it's not where you're listening, then you're listening to a rebroadcast of the show or a podcast and should not try to call in. I'm Doubter 5, and as usual, we have the Wombat on the phone with us. Hello, Wombat.
It is the Wombat. Let me tell you good news. I finally cleaned up my entire house. It took me 2 weeks. I got it. It's done.
I'll be there in an hour. No. Maybe not today. But anyway, we also have a couple of guests with us. We have Pyro Man, who's a retired firefighter. Say hello.
Hey, hello, everyone. So nice to be here.
And very welcome. Along with us, we have Malik. He's an ex-Muslim and ready to talk to the world about it. Say hello, Malik.
Nice meeting you guys.
Nice. Very good. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a call-in talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in Knoxville, well, you're just not. There are several atheists, free-thinking, and rationalist groups that exist right here in Knoxville, and we'll be telling you how you can connect with them right after the mid-show breaks. Also, did you know that there is an atheist call-in television show broadcasting here in Knoxville?
I know all about it.
Yeah, it's been for 9 years.
Yeah.
You do? Yeah. You've been watching it now?
Well, I watch it every single time on Amazon Prime. It's great. It's one season, but it's still amazing. It's like a Western in space.
That's what I really love
about it. And I think it's Nathan Fillion's best work. Jess Whedon's really great work, too.
No.
I love the music.
Nope,
it's great.
You got the wrong channel again. It's not on Amazon Prime. It's broadcast regular TV, Knoxville. It's Comcast Channel 12. And we'll tell you more details about the show after the break. But one of these days you'll find it, Wombat. It's a good show. And you'll appreciate it. And in spite of what Steve Martin would have you think, there are an awful lot of atheist songs out there. And you'll be hearing some of them right here in this program and generally on this station as they are in rotation. What do we have for us today, Wombat?
I think you brought us a ghost guest today. How about...
Yeah, I did.
How about we get a chance to get to know him?
Okay. You brought Pyro Man, I understand.
Oh, yeah.
And I brought Malik. But we can start with Malik. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello. Yes, I'm Malik. I'm an ex-Muslim from Nigeria.
Nigeria.
I left Islam in Nigeria.
Uh-huh, cool.
I'm living in another part of the country. I am from the headquarters of Boko Haram.
Oh,
ironically.
Wow. That's hardcore.
Yeah, I'm from there. But I'm living in... No, I don't want to tell you where I'm living.
Oh, sure.
I'm living in another part of the country.
Do what you need to do to stay safe.
Absolutely.
For sure.
You said...
So I'm situated in Tennessee. So is Doubter 5.
Uh-huh.
And then I think my guy, Pyromancer or Pyroman, guy who needs no introduction, he's moving over to Nashville area too. Pyroman, what are you all about?
Well, thanks for asking.
By the way, you can't top this guy's story.
I don't know about that, but
okay.
I'm a retired firefighter from Fort Smith, Arkansas. I retired in January of 2017. I am actually the helpline director for Recovering from Religion, an organization for people who are doubting or have questions about their faith and belief. And we meet people where they are and provide support.
Could you give us a website? Our link?
It's recoveringfromreligion.org. Or you can call in. We have a 24-hour chat line on our website where you can chat in with an agent. Or you can call in. We have a phone number. It's 1-844-I-DOUBT-IT.
I like it.
Or 1-844-368-2848. And we have agents all over the world that takes phone calls and chats, and It's a really needed service out there.
Not bad. That's cool. Really cool. You can call any time, you said, basically.
Like, yes, yeah, 24 hours a day. We have agents that are in the UK, Germany, actually Turkey, Australia. So, a lot of times when we're over here sleeping in the U.S., people are calling in at 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and we have agents that are up and around on the other side of the world that's, you know, more for their time zone.
Sure.
We get an average. We're averaging between 300 and 400 plus calls and chats every month.
Wow.
Do you think if you're someone who's like, say, a recently recovered from religion person, but who's surrounded by religious people, like a religious family, religious town, whatever, and they just need someone to reach out to, or at least try to find other groups in their area, would this be a good resource for them to call?
Yes, it's a great. We actually have local meetup groups throughout the states. We also help people connect with meetup groups in their area. We help them search for groups. We also provide a private online chat community where people that are feeling isolated, they can make connections with other people. We have maybe 15 or so different channels. You know, if you're coming from a Baptist background or a Catholic or a Muslim or whatever, we have these different channels where you can meet people that have a similar background as you, that are familiar with your type of terminology in your language, and you can connect and relate with each other in those channels. And it's 100% peer support, where these individuals are supporting each other, telling their own story, providing resources that's helped them to with each other. And it's just pretty amazing to sit back and watch these conversations develop.
That's so fantastic. I'm actually especially glad that you joined today, because we have like Malik, who's calling as a recovering Muslim, former Muslim. Malik, would you mind talking about like some of the challenges that come about leaving Islam?
Wow, the challenges is very much. Very, very much, especially living in the midst of Muslims. Mm. Living Islam and living in the midst of Muslims is hell of a challenge. It's like losing away everything you've held dear, you've loved. It's simply the experience of what it means to be ostracized.
Mm. Yeah, I'm sure.
In short.
It permeates every part of your life, I'm sure.
You said?
It's in every part of your life. You can't just ignore it all. It's all around you.
Exactly.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah. Right now, as I'm talking to you, if I paid a visit to my family house, I would pray.
You would go pray.
I have to share them. Yeah, I do pray. When I meet them praying, so I have to join.
Yeah. It's because not something you can just stand out from.
Yeah, it's not something that you can stand up and be lucky to survive it.
Right.
The chances of you dying when you denounce it publicly is very much high.
Yeah. And the prayer is 5 times a day, so it's not like you could just be like, oh, I'll just sit this one out, or I'll pretend to use the bathroom and come back. It's like, no, it's as soon as you wake up, and then you do it, there's 3 other times in that day, and then right before you go to sleep again. So,
well, sure, and you could use an excuse for one or two, but day after day, every day, 5 times a day, and if you start missing them, you'd be noticed.
Yeah, not only that, this is how silly or intense it can get. There are people...
Speaking of Nazis,
I'll go for it.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes. Yes. What did you say?
I said, speaking of Nazis, Larry, you just cannot help it. You must be noticed. Because the more you are divorcing yourself from the belief, the mentality of Islam, the more it will be obvious in your affairs and your relationship. So you just have to be noticed.
Yeah.
No matter how you try to blend in. So that's one of the challenges we faced.
Yeah, so they're basically making you live a lie.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a religious a Muslim branch of my family, and there are people in that who have a bump on their head or like a discoloration on their forehead that they wear as a badge of pride for as the many times that they've put their foreheads against the ground to pray. And like, if you don't have that bump, it's like a symbol that you don't have as much reverence. So like, it's pretty easy. It's
pious.
Yeah. It's easy to physically stand out as someone who doesn't pray compared to, you know, someone of a particular age who should have prayed a certain number of times, who should have a rough spot on their forehead at a certain point, you know? It can get that, it can get that intense. I had a friend who was also Muslim. He was from Iran, and he joined our research group, and he was an atheist. He told me, like, I told him, like, hey, I don't believe in God. He's like, I don't either. I can't, I couldn't say that over there. Like, now that I'm here, this is a lot better opportunity for me to at least just relax. Like,
no,
I love eating all these other foods. I've never really taken it seriously. But I could not have that because I have a family and I didn't want to endanger them. This would affect my entire livelihood. And then, both unfortunately and fortunately, he got another job opportunity back in Iran. So he's back there now.
Oh boy.
And you know, if anything, it makes me feel good that, like, you know, there are atheists in hiding over there even now.
Yeah.
Which shouldn't be that surprising, but also what a world to be back in to for your family, you know? To put yourself through that.
Kind of makes you wonder why he would submit himself to that.
If you have a family and you got to support him, I think you'd do anything.
Yeah, but
right?
he was working over here, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He did have a job.
But I bet you can make way more money with what he was doing in Iran. I guess it's just a question of what he could do for his family, you know? And probably not just his immediate, you know.
I hope he will be safe over there, then.
Me too. And I won't call his name out, but yeah. Yoder, what would you do in a situation like this? Have you had a chance to talk to ex-Muslims before or... people who have a hard time coming out because they worry about how it would impact their family or livelihoods?
Yeah, of course. 4 years ago, we started the chat line, and when we did that, we opened up conversations worldwide. Before, our phone calls normally come in from Canada and the U.S. We are getting, last month we had chats from people outside of the U.S. There was 25 different countries from outside the U.S. In a lot of these countries, people are reaching out to us from Islamic states.
Wow.
And we had to come up with some protocol on how to deal with people from Islamic states, because our number one concern is their safety, of course. And so our first thing we do when we realize that their IP is showing like someone's coming from maybe Saudi Arabia or somewhere, is that we want to make sure that they're on a secure line with a VPN or Tor, so that way they're secure. And these conversations are so difficult sometimes to take, I've talked to a guy from one of the states, and he told me, "You're the first person in my life that I've told you that I've told that I don't believe anymore." And I can't say that out loud because I would literally be executed.
Yeah.
So we provide resources for them. Something that's interesting is that, Dawkins has released his books in PDF form for free in Islamic states. And since they've done that, they've had over 15 million downloads.
Wow.
For people. And they have them in the languages, in people's languages over there and most of them are being downloaded in like Indonesia and Saudi Arabia and the United Arab countries. I think there's a change that is going to be coming, but it's going to take a long time.
Sure.
And I think it's an easy enough thing to say, oh, well, you know, those are Muslims. Me and my Christian faith, we're a lot more accepting. You know, there's obviously a scale there, but I can tell you as an atheist, I have so many hesitations and inhibitions when it comes to just expressing my secular points of view when I'm surrounded by maybe bosses who are Christian or quality checkers in a science laboratory who will tell you that the flood happened and that your results are off by 4%. It's just like, what? How? What grounds do you have to tell me that this is wrong if you believe in such, you know, like obviously non-testable things? Like, what's this cognitive dissonance that we're dealing with here? That's way more interesting. But, you know, it's a thing that you can get experience from even like a mundane faith in America, like Christianity, like this fear of going against the tide or feeling like you're against the tide. Because the persuasion and the general discourse is so pro-Christian over here that anything else, even if it's not in direct opposition, but just in a point of, I just looking for a good reason to believe that, can be seen as such an affront to so many different people. It's really unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for you, Pyro Man. You've given out information about how people can reach you to discuss their problems with religion or leaving religion. But what about if you're a support person, you'd like to get involved and you wanted to be on the other end of the support call, giving that type of support? How would you contact someone with the organization to arrange that?
Oh, very good question. Thank you for asking that. If you go to our website, recoveringfromreligion.org, we have a tab for volunteering, and you start off with filling out the form and submitting the form to us, and then we will get back with you and we'll go through the process of interviewing you and training you and getting you involved in if you want to take chats and calls. We also have volunteers that find resources for us and that run our web page and things like that. A lot of background work if people are interested in being involved in that way also.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah. I also got another question. If I'm in Nigeria, is there a phone call? Is there a phone service or accessible way for me in, you know, my small town in Yoruba to contact an agent from Freedom of Religion?
Recovering from religion.
Recovering from religion.
No, our phone calls are only set up right now in the U.S. and Canada. People that contact us outside those are doing it through the chat. If you go to our website, there's a green chat bubble. A person just needs to click on that and start typing and make contact with one of the volunteers that way.
Okay. It's all good. I can tell you this right now. I'm really, really happy for the work that you guys are doing. I think it's absolutely imperative that people have a way to reach out and get in touch with just another human being that can hear the strife that they're going through, because no one wants to be alone in a situation like that. And I'm really thankful for the work that you guys are putting in.
You know, absolutely. And the thing that I love about Recovering from Religion is that it's a safe place for people to come. We don't judge people. We don't try to deconvert people. We meet them no matter where they are in their journey. From someone who is coming out of a fundamentalist belief, and they may love the narrative, the Jesus narrative, and they want to come and become a part of a more softer, kinder religion, we help them with that. We have resources that we provide them where they can take a quiz, and based on their belief system, it will show what community, religious community, they best fit with.
Oh, that's interesting. I want to so take that quiz.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's called smartselect.com, I think, is the website, and you can go in there and take the quiz. It's just a quick little quiz, and then it will kind of align you to what type of belief you have to that type of religion or community.
Smartselect.com.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
So from that to anywhere, all the way to people that say, I know I'm an atheist, I'm an agnostic or whatever, but I still have this longing, residual fear of hell.
Sure.
Or what if I'm wrong type things. And we just, we talk to them about that, which, those type of questions are great. A great tool to use to peel back the layers is SE or street epistemology.
Yeah.
I, Okay.
You wouldn't know anything about that, would you, Wombat?
I do, but let me tell you something. This quiz is actually really interesting. So it's called the Spiritual Belief System Selector. I just Googled it right now. And I think these questions are actually kind of really fascinating, maybe even for like an if you were to use them in an SE approach, where it's just like, hey, number one question is like, what's the number of or nature of deities? And it has room for you saying like, hey, there's more than one or there's an infinite. But it also has things like, no, none, or I don't know, or none of the above. And it could be the case, it seems like, that by the end of this quiz, it might just tell you that you're an atheist. Is that possible as well?
It could, yeah. It will show you where you might be a humanist or an atheist or agnostic.
Wow. Well, hey, that's actually kind of cool. I'd love to see this actually be used in like a... in a conversational setting. But you know what? I feel like if I were to talk to someone that's already like an out Christian, they would just stick to like the party lines. But there's like a good way to just like hash out that there's other options and that their options is just one out of four possible questions, or maybe even, you know, eight possible selections on a multiple choice question. I think that in its own way could be helpful.
Yeah, of course. So this summer I was tabling for Recovering from Religion at Wild Goose. And for those that aren't familiar with Wild Goose is an outdoor festival for progressive Christians. Hmm. They had over 5,000 people attend that this year. They had over 500 speakers, 400 volunteers. It was a huge, huge event. And we gave out this resource over and over and over again for people that were looking for a softer place to land.
This quiz that you have?
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dude. And what were the responses?
Oh, they loved it. People loved it. A lot of them took it out of just curiosity, but some of them people were sincere trying to figure out where they can land better, in their beliefs.
Yeah. I can imagine someone who's like vaguely Baptist, like just was raised in Baptist and takes a test and realizes maybe they're more Episcopalian or like maybe maybe they feel like they don't have as much of a bond and they're more of just like a deist. Rather than like a, you know, a hardcore religious person. It's like, maybe you got to just put everything in motion, but beyond that, it's all up to us to take care of it. I can see that to be really helpful. On my free time, I'm taking this quiz. I'm going to see how it all works out.
Okay, Malik, I have a question for you, if you don't mind. You were once a believer, I understand.
Yeah.
And in a country surrounded by people who were believers, what was it that made you start questioning it?
No, that's a great question.
It's really a great question. What really made me start doubting that the belief or the religion I was born and brought up in is, to cut it short or to use a simple word, say education.
Education. What level of education?
Scientific education.
Okay, but was it high school? Was it a college level education?
High school. From high school.
Wow, that's so cool.
The doubts begin from high school. I think in my fifth year in high school.
Yeah, you must have had a good teacher.
Yeah.
You said?
You must have had a good teacher.
That's so great.
So Islam and Quran explain a lot about the natural science and all that. By getting enrolled to school, which my dad was against before he later agreed, because I was practically enrolled to school by his friend, not my dad. It was later when he started realizing the benefit of it, when a utility bill is being brought to our house, he'll call me, then I'll read it. It's been sent to him, he'll call me and I'll read it and translate it to him. That is when he started realizing the importance of the education. Then he continued paying my fee back in my primary school and my secondary school.
So your father had a really big impact on actually your transition, not just your teacher as well?
Yeah, my father had a really big impact on that because he introduced me to Islamic teachings.
Hmm.
And yeah, he suggested, and by going to the Western education and my teachers explain how this the natural world is contrary to what Islam has been telling.
Wow.
Saying and explaining. So that is what prompted the doubt.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, that's blasphemy, though. How did they justify teaching you that kind of thing? I mean, in a Islamic environment, was this something separate, something secular, something that's not usual for the area?
Yeah, what they really do is this: they teach it the way it is in the textbooks.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Then later explain to us that this is of course the understanding of free-thinking people.
Hmm.
So they somehow, after explaining it to us, they somehow nullify it or invalidate it. Even the teacher themselves. But that alone has already triggered doubt in my heart.
Right. So it's basically the same thing they do with Christianity. It's like, here's the text, but this is how imperfect people have interpreted the world. And what you really need is the Holy Spirit to explain to you how
science
actually works. And so basically his dad told him, this is how it's done. But then in school he learned, actually, this is completely a different story from how it's done. I have questions and no one's answering them. I'm going to have to try figuring this out.
Mm-hmm.
And then through that process, he started having the doubts that later became his path to leaving Islam.
Yeah.
And one other important aspect that triggered the doubt, basically, I would say, the contradiction within the Islamic text themselves.
Oh, really?
Because there are lots of contradictions within the Islamic text that it is very hard to reconcile. Lots of scholars are explaining, but the doubt is still there.
Right.
If you listen carefully.
Sure.
So that alone made me started looking elsewhere. I have tried becoming a Christian by studying Bible and relating to some Christian friends as well. But that same question I have with Islam, I still have it in Christianity and they're not giving me the answer.
Right. There are a lot of people who say there are no contradictions or that the book of Islam is completely true. But I could have like a watch that's always, I could have like a watch that says now. Like I can cover up, I can literally just scratch the word now onto the face of it. And I could say it's always now, but it's not a helpful answer. And so he's basically saying, hey, you know, all these, you know, authorities on Islam are just giving me answers when I want an explanation. I want to know how they know things.
Right.
And if they aren't giving me a reliable way to figure it out, I'm going to look for something better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why would it be helpful to us, you know, to know that information for 1600 years and then have to have a scientist independently find it out to explain us what it actually means and be able to use that information? It's not very useful.
No.
But Malik, I have other questions.
We're at the bottom of the hour. How about we get to it right after we come back?
Hey, sure, we can do that.
Hey, this won't take very long. You're listening to 103.9 Digital Free Thought Radio Hour coming out of Knoxville, Tennessee. We'll come back right after the break.
You're listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO 103.9 LPFM in Knoxville, Tennessee. Feel free to join in on the conversation at 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And now, back to the show. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.
Hello and welcome back to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Doubter 5 and we're on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're not live. But we are live, but it won't be by the time we broadcast. Today is November 17th, 2019. And let's talk about the free thought groups that you can join right here in Knoxville. There's the Atheist Society of Knoxville, been around for 17 years. The Rationalists of East Tennessee for 20 years. Sunday Assembly has been around for 3 or 4 years. And you can find out about all of these by going to KnoxvilleAtheist.org and following the various links. We do have a TV show we were going to talk about a little earlier, but I'll just say it's on Comcast Channel 12. It's Knoxville Atheist call-in TV show called Free Thought Forum. every Wednesday between 6:30 and 7:30 on Comcast Channel 12, Charter Channel 192.
You should tell me or we have a TV show.
I should. I might mention it one of these days. You can go to YouTube and watch some of their old shows, their archived shows. Just go to YouTube and search for Free Thought Forum Knoxville. Now, on our show today, we have Wombat as usual. We have a guest, Pyro Man, and Malik. Pyro Man is not a pyroman, pyromaniac. He is a retired firefighter, and Malik is an ex-Muslim. And I have a question for you, Malik. You were talking about it was your education mainly that got you started to question. And generally, in an educational setting, you have several people who are going along with the theme of the class. So you must know some other ex-Muslims or people who are questioning in your area, or have you lost contact with that group?
Yeah, I know a lot of.
Yes, we can hear you, Malik. Ex-Muslims.
I know some few ex-Muslims that we do relate through some Facebook group, WhatsApp group, and all that. Though not physically where I am, but we do relate online.
Oh, okay. It was an online educational experience?
Online educational experience? I don't understand. Did I know any ex-Muslim that would you relate here? I thought that was the question.
No, I was just saying, you probably feel alone because you don't know any other ex-Muslims, but I was thinking that if you were in a classroom setting, the other people that were exposed to the same questions that you were exposed to that got you thinking, you might still be in touch with them. Was it a classroom setting, or did you take a class on the internet?
It's mostly on the internet, books on the internet and all that.
I see.
Yeah, it's mostly on the internet, not on the settings where I live.
Mm-hmm. We atheists have a saying, the internet is a place where religions go to die.
Well, where 40 new ones get invented every day.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah.
I had this speaking of like really cool shows, there's this one that's on Amazon Prime called Off the Cuff. And it's about these two guys who just try to visit the most sequestered or like weird societies in America. Like there will be a society that lives next to a giant radio tower that listens to space all the time. And because of that, there can't be any radio interference. So this whole town can't have Wi-Fi or like any sort of like other broadcasting radios or ham radios. It's like a EMF free zone. And so people who have like sensitivities to that or believe they have sensitivities to that move to this area where it's basically like modern time, but there's no real electricity.
Wow. Yeah, it's hard to say. Even electrical current will generate interference.
Yeah, so it's like they're not Amish. They're like regular people. They can drive in and out, but like it's like through a bus schedule, and they just like have butter that they churn, and they have farm animals that they tend to. It's just very bizarre. But there's one town in Iowa that is basically a town that's called itself the most progressive town in the world. And I was watching it, and it's like this neighborhood where everything's like perfectly cut out, and everyone's wearing like these like really church-like sweaters, like, you know, the perfectly preened outfits, and the kids have everything like their shoes tied, and every street's super clean. And I'm like, this looks like a cult. first thing I said is like, this is probably a cult town. And it totally, the first thing the spokesperson said for the township is like, this is not a cult. This is not a religion. We just, you know, pray 15 times a day. We have meditation times 4 times a day. And it was like a long list of things. And I'm like, it's very easy to fall into the trap of, how do I even put this, into a dogmatic lifestyle where you feel like you're always being watched and you're following.
Oh, yeah.
You're following the general trend of things because that's how you're just brought up in. And it's so hard to break out of that. And you don't know it until you try it. And that's why I really respect, you know, Malik for, you know, not only recognizing that this is a problem and he needs to fix it, but going through the steps to do it and then getting himself out of a situation like that. I can't commend him enough, because the easy route would have just been keep lying to yourself. And everybody else.
Now he has a whole new set of problems.
Thank you very much.
But it's freeing. It's so much more freeing.
That's true. I'd rather be on that side than the other. Yeah. How about this? Malik, do you regret your decision? And, like...
Are you happier now?
Now that you're on the other side, what benefits are there?
A lot. The freedom of not being scared of hell.
Nice. That's huge. That's true.
Yeah. I don't have any regret at all. What I do regret is when I look at my parents, I understand their frustration.
Mm.
Especially being the first son of an Islamic cleric. All my dad's hope was to make me become an Islamic scholar, and I took the other way. So looking at him, sometimes I used to understand his pain. Since he is, I don't know how to put it, he's having the mentality of the belief system alone. So he don't understand why I am going against what he taught me.
Mm. Mm.
So that's the only regret I can call that regret. If I look at the pain in their eyes, I used to understand that. But personally, I don't have any regrets.
Yeah. Good.
Well, good. Glad to hear that. One of the things that I found most freeing about losing religion is you can actually consider the fact that you can understand the world, and you can go about learning the sciences that you need to find out how things work, all the way down to physics if you want to.
Yeah.
Where religion, they make you content in not knowing and not caring because you cannot know.
Right.
You know, God himself is a big mystery. His plan is a mystery. Lean not upon your own understanding is what they say in the Bible.
Right.
And the fact that you can figure it out if you try hard enough, is such a freeing thing that the world is understandable.
Pyroman, I'll throw this question out to you. What's like the biggest benefit that you've realized now since you've been an atheist?
Free of the dogma, you know, kind of to what was being said. If you think that you have all the answers already given to you, that takes away your freedom to do the research and look and discover for yourself.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I found that when I was religious, and that was only about maybe 7 years ago, maybe even eight, I felt super special. I felt so big because I was basically God's best friend.
Right.
And I had a direct way of communicating with him, and he knew everything about me. He knew every hair on my head. And I'm like, the guy who made the universe knows how many hairs there are on my head. That's pretty awesome.
And listens to every word and every thought
And we're just going to hang out and talk, and it's going to be super sweet for the rest of our life. And when I got out of the religion, I realized how small I was. And in a universe that was gigantic, incomprehensibly, literally incomprehensible, large. It was just so big, and I was such a tiny, tiny part of it. But in that capacity, I realized really how actually special I was. Because when you think about just even like our solar system, there's so few planets that can sustain life. Just us, as far as we know. And it's just been us. And in this entire planet, like how many terrains can actually sustain human life? Just, you know, like a couple of land masses surrounded by a great ocean, which takes up the majority of like the surface. And of this, like how many land masses can actually like have a place where I'd want to be, you know, like Wi-Fi and all that stuff and the right heat and stuff like that. For me to be where I'm at right now, I know a lot of people use this as a fine tuning argument for God, but I find it as a fine tuning for just being appreciative of what I do have. And I've been so grateful to be such a small part of something so amazing that I'm still trying to figure out and working with other people to figure out too. And I'm just so appreciative of that opportunity. I wouldn't have opened my eyes to that if I was still in this faith. I would have thought I was the next biggest thing in the universe next to, you know, God.
But at the same time, you have to think that you're a dirty sinner, you know, born with the sin of mankind and redeemable only through belief in a magical being.
But once you have that, once you say, hey, I believe Jesus, and you get you drink some juice and have that cracker, you're like, I'm done. I'm good. I got it. I'll see you next Sunday.
Yeah. Good for a week.
Here's 10% of my paycheck.
Charge.
See you later. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if anything, I'm just really appreciative of like playing life on normal difficulty.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and how much more precious is our life now that we know that this is our one life?
Yeah.
Right. It's rare. It's more precious. It should be valued more.
Absolutely.
But
something I would recommend, and I'll put a link to the description for this, is there's a website that will show you a 2-scale model of our solar system. 2-scale. Now, a lot of people think, I know what our solar system looks like. But no, like 2-scale, if the moon was only one pixel.
Yeah.
If the moon was only one pixel of your computer screen, this is a 2-scale model. And you start at the sun, and you start scrolling to the right. And you scroll, and you scroll, and you scroll. And like about 45 seconds later, you're at Mercury. And then you keep scrolling, and like minutes go by. And you're like, it's just empty space in between everything. And you're like, how far away are these planets? It took me 45 minutes of scrolling to get to Jupiter. And while you're scrolling, there's little pieces of text in the empty space that sort of like detail how small we are in the universe, and you don't realize it until you're actually combing through it and realizing this is why it takes 7 years for us to get to Mars. This is why it took, 15 years for a satellite to even leave like the asteroid belt. And this is why it takes so long for pictures that are traveling at light speed to finally hit Earth. You realize this whole universe is mostly empty space. The atoms that make up our body, the mass component of them are super small too. We are so lucky, not lucky, but we are such an interesting thing. We're probably the universe's most interesting thing as far as we know, that we can sit here and talk about how crazy the universe is. And just
some of us are.
But just to have that opportunity to be like, look how small we are. Look at this. What is this? What's going on here? To have that opportunity is just such a wonderful feeling, because when you think you have all the answers, like Pyroman was saying, it's like you don't have that realization. You don't have those fun conversations. And the world feels a lot smaller as a result. It feels like it ends literally at the border of your town. But now you know that you're in this giant, puzzle piece. It's like, well, let's solve this puzzle. Let's get as far as we can with our lifetimes and try to figure out something productive for the next generation. I think it makes you part of such a great project. That's why. I'm really appreciative of being on the outside.
To be sure.
Though I do understand what Malik was saying about when you look at into like the eyes of your family and you think, man, have I disappointed them? Or is there any way for them to realize where I am now? Like that that I'm happy and that I feel for them, because I want them to be on the side too. I want everybody to. But I want, the basis for it isn't so much on me trying to change their mind. It's for them to realize that they don't have a good reason to keep the idea that they have. And I found Essie to be a really good way for me to kind of like frame my mind around having those kinds of conversations. Okay. I also
Essie being.
Oh, we know what Essie is. This isn't everyone's first show. We all know.
This is being posted on an Essie channel.
Oh, okay. Hey, Yoder. Pyroman, tell me, what's Essie? What's this thing that we're talking about? What is that?
Essie, street epistemology.
Malik, have you heard of street epistemology?
Hello?
Hello. Yes?
You said what?
Have you heard of street epistemology yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Oh, we got the guy for you.
Go ahead, Todd.
So, street epistemology is just a kind of a unique way of having conversations with people who hold deeply held beliefs. Epistemology is a study of knowledge. How do you know you know? How do you know what you know is actually true? What method are you using to know this? And is that method a reliable way to know true things?
Perfect.
And,
All right, very good. What was your comment that you were going to make, Wombat, about Essie before I so rudely interrupted you?
No. I just found like when I have conversations using an Essie style, it becomes less about an argument or debate, less about trying to prove who's right and who's wrong, and more about two people working together to figure out if they have a good reason to believe what they believe. And the way how I phrase Essie or like frame it is, I'm not trying to figure out why you're wrong. I'm trying to understand how you're right. And if we work on that together and we don't get to a result, That tells you and me a lot more than me saying, hey, you're wrong. It shows that maybe we need to work harder for coming to this conclusion with a high level of confidence. And until then, maybe I don't know is the best answer. Maybe I shouldn't believe this is probably.